In a world that can be challenging, and at times unpredictable, it's hard to find moments to focus on what you need. Join Stephanie James on The Spark as she guides you to use your inner flame to ignite your best life. As a best-selling author, psychotherapist, transformational life coach, and international show host, Stephanie is dedicated to helping you create a life that takes you, your goals, and your passions to the next level, so you can live a life that is fully lit up and fully alive. She believes that your life is meant to be a beautiful expression of the things that light you up, that by living your dreams, you give permission to others to do the same. Are you ready to feel alive and inspired to fuel your dreams and put a fire behind your desires? Let's ignite a spark in one another that will illuminate the world. The Spark, with your host, Stephanie James, starts now.
Welcome to The Spark. I'm your host, Stephanie James. So thankful to have you with us here tonight on The Spark. Thank you for joining us and for making the spark part of your day, part of your life. So tonight I have a really special guest, Jim Phillips. And Jim is an author, life strategist, speaker, and America's authority of living in full expression. Thank you, Jim, for being with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm excited about this.
Well, let's kind of jump right in. I know that on our last conversation, I could have kept talking to you for probably three more hours.
It was very natural. I thought it was great too. A very easy flow conversation, lots of good information too.
Absolutely. So, you know, this America's authority of living in full expression, what is that about? Tell me about that.
Well, the idea came from the fact that I wrote a book called The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression, which if I can...
Yeah, hold that up.
Here's the book. Published it about 5 years ago, I guess. And the idea of living in full expression is really about getting to the core, the truth of who you are, any of us, and really living from that truth. And that's the hard part for most people, because one of the hardest things we have that we're trying to do is be true to ourselves, you know, being honest. Of course, Shakespeare said a long, long time ago, above all else, to thine self be true. And I think we struggle with that. We look too much to the external world to determine who we are, what we're all about, what we're here to do. And then we look for the approval of other people to validate who it is and what we do. And yet none of that's necessary. So the work I do is really helping people drill down to the core of who they are, understanding that, and then from that point forward, making decisions, taking actions, watching their thoughts and beliefs, so they're always in alignment with whatever that truth is that they reveal about themselves.
I resonate with this so much. And I remember part of this is our conversation. You know, it is, I think it's the way that we're all programmed, if you will, that we have these external programs for happiness. And so how do we begin that journey within to start discovering where that happiness actually lies?
Well, I think what I do with people that are coaching clients or life strategy clients with me, the first thing I ask them to do is really ask them, who are you? And of course, most people will go, I'm a real estate broker, I'm a teacher, I'm a writer, I'm a doctor, I'm a whatever. And I'll say, no, that's the role you play. That's not what you are and it's not who you are. So really tell me who it is that you are. Get beneath all that. And then you also can get people to understand that if you were not a doctor today, let's just say you're a doctor. If you were not a doctor today, other than that being a label you give to yourself, you as the person haven't changed. Whatever the entity is that's within you hasn't changed. It's just you no longer have that job description, so to speak, or that identity. And I think once people really realize that, and it is a big aha moment, they go, you're right, because I will still be the same person I am. I just won't have that as a role that I'm playing right now. And I think once we start to let go of those external labels, we realize that really who we are is what resides inside our body. And the way I like to explain it to people is that we are that which experiences and expresses through us and as us, whatever that entity is, whatever you want to call it, but that's who we are. And that who we are experiences, expresses through the physical body out into the world.
Absolutely. You know, that to me, that's what I call the spark. That's our essence.
Right.
I think that's so beautiful. And I also realize, you know, the difficulty, because I feel like we are so defined by our roles and our ego gets really connected to that. You know, like I am a therapist or I am a radio show host. And so I know in my own work, it's how do I dismantle part of that ego that clings on to, I get a sense of who I am in the world if I'm this role or that role.
Yeah.
What have you found? Tell us a little bit, Jim, about your own journey through this, because obviously my hunch is that you're teaching this because you've lived this, you've experienced this.
I teach this because I am experiencing it. It hasn't ended. It never will end. It's this ongoing process that I'm going through, that we all go through. Well, I can share the experience I had when I was 13 years old. And I'll do that real quick, because that probably is what a lot of people would like to hear in terms of how I got involved in this sort of work and how I opened myself up to receive the information that I received. But I was in church. I was 13 years old. I was born and raised Christian. I was sitting in between my parents. And I remember looking up front, and the minister was standing up there giving a sermon. I looked around. There was people to the left of me that were getting ready to pass the offering basket. And I was just fidgeting. I was very uncomfortable. I didn't want to be there. And, you know, as a 13-year-old kid, I'm thinking, okay, I'd probably rather be out playing baseball or basketball or doing something like that. Don't want to be in church. And then I just had this very uneasy feeling. It was something that I don't know that I could describe other than saying it was uneasy. Something seemed off to me, that there was just something off about this whole process of church and the minister and all of that. And I don't want anybody to take that as me being against organized religion, or I was born and raised Christian, against that. It wasn't about that. It was just my own feelings of uneasiness that something was off. And then all of a sudden, up here to my right-hand side of my head was this voice, and it said, you're going to be doing this someday. And I remember jerking my head up, looking to find the source of the voice. There was nothing there, obviously. I looked at my parents. They didn't move. I looked to the minister. He's still talking to people over to the left and not past the offering basket yet. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be doing what? I said, there is no way I'm standing in front of a church. I'm not going to be a minister. I'm not going to do any of this. So I have no idea what you're talking about. Then, of course, your thoughts go to, okay, I'm crazy because nobody else heard this voice and I'm acting as if, you know, this thing is going on. And then it was a couple minutes later, the same voice, same place said, you're going to be doing it differently. And then my thoughts went to, okay, doing what differently? And I never told anybody that until my book was published. My parents knew nothing about that until my book was published. But ever since that happened, there was always something in me that was tied to that. I was always thinking, well, you know, if something happened, I said, well, is this part of whatever that is that I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm going to be doing it differently. But what I found was I was always being put in situations where people were looking for advice. They were looking for something to comfort them in a difficult situation they were in. And I would find that I could sit there and talk to them, and it would be very easy. And I would say things that, honestly, the information was beyond what I thought I was capable of speaking about, but it would just come very easily. And so that just became part of a process. And I'm not going to say that I was channeling, that I was in a trance or anything like that. It was just wherever the information comes from, I was able to tap into it, have these conversations. Then it led me to doing a lot of public speaking. I've been in the real estate business for a long time. And as a result of that, I've been in a good situation where I've been able to travel around the world and do training programs and a lot of things like that that pertain to real estate, but I always brought in the spiritual side to it. And it was not very overt initially, and then it became more and more overt. But then I found myself always writing notes down, and I would have different thoughts that would come to me, different messages that would come to me that I would write down. And then eventually it got to the point where there was so much on yellow pads around my house that I had to put it in book form. And that's really how the Key to Life came to be.
So great. Such a great story. So, and I totally get it when you're talking about this thing of like, this information is coming through you, but it's not that you've read it in a book. It's not that, you know, anyone has necessarily taught it to you. I mean, I absolutely have the same experience really daily in my therapy office or with my transformational life coach clients, exact same thing. It's like Stephanie James doesn't have that knowledge or wisdom or information, but somehow it's coming through. So, I get it. It's not channeling. What would you call it?
Well, you know, the whole conversation started around how can people disidentify with the labels and identify with their spark? it's accepting that what we're just talking about, that that information coming through, whether it's coming through divine whatever, or if it's your higher self that's doing it, or if it's you, it's your spark that's actually doing that, because our spark has access to the information. It's just accepting it. It's trusting it. It is relying on it. And of course, you know this, the more we rely on it, the stronger it gets, the more information you get, the more available it is to you. And then just incredible things start to happen. You attract different people into your life based on what your beliefs are. And it's always at a higher level of consciousness. And the more you help people with it, you share what you do. And the sharing of it, though, in my opinion, has to be done without ego. I've seen too many people in this business whose ego gets bigger than it should. It gets bigger than the information that they're sharing. And they think it's all about them as opposed to being about the message. And that's where they get into trouble. And all of a sudden, that's where you find these people who have been very well known doing this sort of work have a tremendous fall. And it's because they've allowed their ego to take over and they've identified with that as opposed to just allowing the information to come through in whatever form it's supposed to come through.
Well, and I agree that I think, you know, and that's part of what I feel like my message is as well, is that we, you know, when we do our own healing work, we're clearing out that conduit so we can become a clearer conduit for that stuff to come through. And again, it's zero ego. It's literally about, I want to be an open channel. You know, I want to be that conduit. So, you know, every single person who's listening to this, it's like your healing matters.
Right. That's a good slogan.
Yeah.
Especially in these times.
Absolutely. Because then I think too, Jim, and you can speak to this, then we're also contributing to the collective. You know, we're really, science now is able to measure energy and vibration. It's not some woo-woo concept. It really is measurable. And so we know we're contributing to raising the vibration of the planet as we do this work.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me because that, to me, that's the purpose of life, not the purpose of my life, but the purpose of life in general for all of humanity. It's to gain that understanding of who we are as the participant in this process of raising collective consciousness. And then whatever we do, however we do it, we are raising it. And, you know, at times it's going to feel like it's kind of flat because maybe what we're experiencing isn't what we would consider to be a very positive or uplifting experience, but yet it is an experience that's helping us gain greater insight, and that greater insight is what lifts the consciousness as well. And it, you know, it's becoming aware of all of this, aware of how this process works, aware of each of our individual parts in the process, and then understanding that we are the collective, and that it's been said, as we do to ourselves, we do to all. We're connected in that way. And although we seem to be disconnected, and that's the separation that we create just through the way we live our lives, but it's once we realize that we're in this together, and I mean literally in it together, not just using the rhetoric, because that rhetoric gets used too much right now. Everybody's having their different experience of being here on the planet at this time. But to me, the experience each person has is the perfect experience for them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be having the experience.
Yeah. Absolutely agree with you. Well, and so what is a life strategist? I love that term, and I know LIFE is an acronym. What does that stand for?
Well, LIFE, the word itself, stands for living in full expression.
Ah.
And so that's why the book is The Key to LIFE. So the key to LIFE is living in full expression. So once you find your spark, love your term. So once you find your spark, once you realize you are the spark, and then you start to live as that spark and allow that spark to shine out in the world, then you're living in full expression. And, you know, I think sometimes people feel that when you live in full expression, it just means go out into the world hell bent to do everything and anything. It's not about that. It's about doing everything you can, but it's about doing it in alignment with the truth of who you are. And it's always about looking for ways that you're going to benefit the collective. And, you know, and again, as we benefit ourselves by doing things that are going to be beneficial, that are going to be uplifting, that are based on integrity, on love, on heart, compassion, all of that is going to benefit the collective. And I just think that we need to be very conscious of that. So we have to become aware of it. That's our participation in this whole process. I know you asked a question in there that I don't think I answered.
I had just asked what life strategist meant.
Oh.
Like, what is a life strategist?
Yeah. So the life strategist part is I've been in business now for over 40 years. I write business plans. I follow business plans. Within business plans, you create strategies and different steps you're going to take, tactics, all of that becomes a part of it. So when I look at life, it's the same way. If you create a life plan and you build it the way that you would build a business plan, and you have strategies on what it is you want to experience in life, how you want to experience, how you want to be the experience of it, well, then you create tactics. And the tactics could be the day-to-day things you do that make the strategies come to fruition. And so it's just following that process. It's just looking at life a little bit differently than maybe a life coach might. And to me, it's a little bit deeper and just provides a little bit more or a greater understanding, I guess, might be the better way to put it.
Yeah. So really interesting about just the different ways of excavating, getting through, and really realizing what that spark or what that essence is inside of you.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. I'm sure, you know, you do this work and you call it the spark, and it's like, so people, what is that? Well, you know, here's an interesting thing too. And this just came to me. The whole point of us being here is so that the greater spark, the big flame, whatever it is, it is experiencing and expressing itself through us so they can realize more of who it is. So what we're doing as the individuated spark is helping the big spark or the big flame or whatever you want to call it, you know, God, spirit, go through the same process on a higher level than we are as the individuated spark. You know, it's all one and the same. And we just need to understand that. That's just who we are and what we're all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Resonate with you so much. Well, we're going to need to take a quick break. Cannot wait to come back. Join us for the next section with Jim Phillips, author, life strategist, speaker, and America's authority of living in full expression. We'll be back in a moment.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm here with Jim Phillips, author, life strategist, speaker, and America's authority on living in full expression. So excited to have you back, Jim. And before we continue, I want to remind our listeners, if you want to find out other speaking events, the retreats, so much going on, tap into stephaniejames.world. And you can get the latest information and get a free visualization, Igniting the Spark Within. And that's what we're talking about today with Jim Phillips. So Jim, how do we start to do this? How do we start to get to this place? What are some tools or what are the keys that help us to live in full expression?
The first thing is that it always sounds so simple when I say it, but yet to me, it is what it is. You have to decide you want to. You have to make a conscious decision that you want to realize and take full advantage of who you are. And that's getting inside yourself, tapping into your heart if you want to, tap into your soul. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's whatever you want to call the essence within you that you would be tapping into. It's about making a conscious decision. And then, you know, we all know that when we're doing something, and we know when something is the truth because we feel it internally. Well, that's what we're talking about. And the more you pay attention to that, let's say you're going to make a major decision. And we always say, well, I wish I had done that because my gut told me I should have done it. And then you didn't do it. And then things didn't turn out the way that you wanted it to. Or if we're going to make a decision and we say your gut says, yes, make that decision. And you make the decision. we don't give ourselves credit for that internal guidance being the source of the guidance. We just assume that, okay, well, I made that decision and here's what happened. You're giving your, you've got to give yourself permission to tap into that. And then again, it's about trusting it. And the more that you utilize it, the more you trust it, the more you're going to gain from it, the stronger it's going to get, the easier it's going to be to tap into it. So for me, to go more specific to your question, Stephanie, is for me right now, when all I have to do is think about it, I just say, I'm connected and I'm there. I don't have to go through any long process. People from the very beginning, maybe you go into a meditation, maybe you take 3 deep breaths, maybe you put your hand at your heart center and you get that connection there and you put your intention there. And then you start paying attention as you're having thoughts or asking questions, whatever sensations you're having. And that's going to give you an idea of what it feels like when you're tapping into that inner source, that guidance, your spark. What I do now, and this has become really, really interesting for me, is I take early morning walks, and I've done it now for over 30 years. And it's when I'm very connected, because that's my intention. My intention is every time I go out in the morning to walk is to be connected. And I'll have very specific questions that I have that I just want answers to. And most of the questions are life-changing, life-meaning, life-altering questions that I have had difficulty trying to figure out just through regular thought process or reading or whatever the case may be. So when I'm having these walks, and I call them being immersed in the silence of the dawn. And in fact, I had a quote that came to me one morning, and this is getting into what I do during these walks. I had a quote come to me one morning. And the quote was, from the silence arose the wisdom they sought. And I just thought that was a really cool statement. And that to me is another way to get into it. If I get quiet, then I know that the wisdom's gonna rise. It's gonna be coming up within me. So I go on these walks, I ask questions. And to give you an example, one time I was walking and I asked the question of, why are we here? You know, what is the purpose of life? And it came as a result of seeing something really devastating on television where it might have been a civil war in Somalia or something where people were just being brutalized. And I had to turn it off because I can't physically and emotionally take that. The energy behind it, just everything about it is just more than I can bear. And it doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm thinking, okay, so why are we here if this is how we're going to treat each other? Or if people, because they're born in a certain country, why are they born in that country into those circumstances? And I've been born here in the United States. I've been given the advantages I've been given, and my life is what it is. Why are these other people being put in these really dire situations? So I asked the question, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? And immediately the answer I got was, the purpose of life is the progressive realization of the truth. Now, for some people, that might seem like too general a term. But to me, it was the very specific answer that I needed, because it is all about getting to the truth. It's about understanding why people would be born into that country, why I was born into this country. My life is unfolding the way that it is. And the specific answer to that is because our lives are perfect for the lives we're intended to lead, or the lives our soul intended for us to lead. The circumstances we find ourselves in are perfect for all the circumstances of our lives to unfold. And to me, that's really the key to life, you know, living in full expression, but it's getting to that truth and then understanding that everything we do is about getting more and more to the truth. Now, you can imagine that if my work is all about the truth, this last 4 or 5 years has been killing me.
Yes.
We won't get into that, but it's just been unbelievable.
Very tough. Yeah.
Yeah. And living outside Washington, D.C., you know, the energy's here. So it's been pretty remarkable.
Well, and I want to talk to you about that more. But, you know, I was thinking one of the things that you said that caught my attention, which now I'm spacing on, so I'm going to have this edited out. You had just said something about... Gosh, Jim, my head just went blank.
The progressive realization of the truth.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay. So one of the things that this really brought up for me was this thing of if we really take that as our truth, that we, like, life is giving us exactly what our soul has called for us to experience, then what I love about that is that it gets rid of victim mentality.
Exactly.
You know, that somehow I'm a victim of my life circumstance. And in that too, instead of being the victim, it actually empowers us to say, okay, this is here. This is what's here now. This is my life. And I can do something about it. I don't have to lay down and be victim to what's happening.
Yeah. It's about looking at every situation and asking the question, what is the benefit to what's going on right now? And the other part of that is, and this gets into personal responsibility, because one of the issues we have right now is, I'm not going to say very few people, because I know it's there's greater number of people taking responsibility for their lives than those that are not, but it's those that are not that seem to have the loudest voice. And so we see that more often. But it's about recognizing that everything that I experience came as a result of a choice I made, or beliefs that I hold, or an action that I've taken. And so if something's happening to me, a question I'll ask myself is, what is it in me that this is so? Very simple. What is it in me that this is so? And then it makes me reflect on, well, you know, what was I thinking leading up to this? What choices did I make? What actions have I taken? What is it I believe is possible or not? And then I can really kind of work through all this information to get a greater idea of whatever the benefit might be. And it's always a benefit, even though during the process, it's really painful. And sometimes it's hard to gain the benefit while you're in the middle of the process, because it is so painful. But we all know that so many times we go through something difficult, and after we get through it, somebody will ask you about it. You'll say, well, you know, it was really a blessing in disguise. And they are. And we just need to accept that. And if you can accept it going into it, and then accept it while you're in the midst of it and really be looking at it, it doesn't mean it's not going to be painful. It doesn't mean it's not going to be difficult, but you will get through it much more quickly. And then once you're through it and you gain that benefit, you're not going to have that same experience again.
Exactly. Well, and I have found in my own personal experience, if we don't resist what's going on in the moment, what we're also doing is it decreases the intensity. Because if we're like adamantly, you know, clinging and holding on and saying like, no, I don't want to be doing this. You know, I think it's Michael Singer who wrote The Untethered Soul, who said, you know, if we're in misery, it's because we are not accepting the current moment as it is. So if the current moment is anything other than what we want it to be, we can be in misery. So I think it's when we have that acceptance and say, okay, yep, this is what's here. It might be painful, but I can breathe into that. I can breathe through that. We notice it shifting and moving much more quickly.
Yeah. One of the quotes in my book, and this did come through one of my morning walks, is the hell we experience is the hell we so dearly cling to.
So true. Oh my gosh.
If you don't want to experience, let go of it. I mean, and what Michael Singer says, and I think he's got some really great information in all of his books, but he talks about surrender. And I think you and I talked about surrender last time we had a conversation. And people need to let go of the idea of surrender as giving up, because it's not waving the white flag. It's not saying that you're not capable. It's not becoming the victim. It's about, in the words that I use, it's about giving into our magnificence, allowing that which we are, the spark, to be what now is experiencing, expressing in the world. Basically, it's getting out of our own way and just allowing that truth to be what people see, what we experience, how we're creating, and how we go through life. And again, you know, it's, I always feel like this has to be said. Too many people, I think that once you get to a certain level of understanding, that life is just going to be smooth sailing. My experience has been the more you understand, the more challenging it becomes, because the greater opportunity exists there. And it's just a matter of understanding that's the process and then working through it.
Well, and not to fear that. I think that's one of the things too, you know, that we can be in this place where it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. So we can sometimes just keep ourselves at this level.
Yeah.
But once we realize, yeah, life isn't all about suffering, it contains some suffering, you know, with this continual up and down experience, that then it does, even though the challenges may get bigger, somehow they're more easy to deal with. Yeah. And we can respond to them in a different way instead of just reacting to them.
Yeah. Another one of my quotes came to mind when you were saying that. And when we ask most people about their lives, and or you ask them what it is you want most out of life, a lot of people say, I just want to be happy, or, you know, I want my kids to be happy, or whatever the situation might be. And of course, we can make choices that allow happiness to be more of our experience. It's not about circumstances, it's about really how we want to experience it. So I was thinking about that one day, and what I realized is that our daily lives, people refer to it as your comfort zone, what you're used to, what you have recognized as being your daily existence, that becomes our comfort zone. Well, why is it that if we're in our comfort zone, we're so unhappy? It obviously is not our comfort zone. So I call that our discomfort zone. So the quote is, we've become too uncomfortable in our discomfort to allow ourselves to experience our magnificence. Ooh. And we have to recognize that we've got to get out of the discomfort zone into the world of potential, which is limitless in terms of who we are and what we're all about and what we can create and experience.
Well, Jim, will you say that quote again? I love that quote.
We allow ourselves to become too comfortable in our discomfort that we don't allow ourselves to step into our magnificence.
Yeah. Wow. That is so true. Wow. I love that quote. And I think that is so true, that so often, you know, people are willing to stay small because they think that, and even though, like you said, that's not comfortable, but there's a certain comfort in that I don't have to be in fear or step into the unknown, which my mind can perceive as threatening, or, you know, we have these minds that thrive on predictability and routine. And so how interesting. I love that phrase, stepping out of the uncomfort zone to truly blossom in your life.
Right. You know, it's interesting that when we think of the unknown, the vast majority of people default to difficulty, challenge, something that they're going to be fearful of, when the unknown is just, you don't know. And it's a neutral place. It can just as easily be the most magnificent experience of your life, just as it can be probably the most difficult. But if we go into that arena, jumping into our magnificence with the intention, with the understanding, and with the belief that we are jumping into our magnificence, even though it's uncertain, well, then the weight's going to shift, and we're more likely to have the greater experience than to have the fearful one, difficult one. And it's just about tipping the scales a little bit. And it just comes out of belief, trusting yourself.
Yeah. And talking to that, you know, I think it can help really. I use a mnemonic device of naming is taming when it comes to things like anxiety, because as soon as we name it, we can say, okay, this is my anxiety speaking, and it's no longer us. Like, I'm not anxious, I am anxious. I'm experiencing some anxiety, and I can say, okay, I can listen to that, or I can choose to say, nope, that's just my anxiety talking. And I do want to explore this, or I do want to try this thing.
Yeah. Well, I think what you just said is key, where you said, I am experiencing anxiety. Because if somebody says my anxiety, you're claiming it.
Yeah.
You're claiming it. And every time somebody says, why do you, you know, what's going on with you? Oh, it's my anxiety. Then even when I talk about it, I'm pulling it to myself.
Yeah.
And you know, so identifying with it. But if you say I'm experiencing it, it's okay. It's an experience. It's going to go away.
Yeah.
And by just having that little mind switch, it changes it.
Well, again, it empowers us. We're not the victim of I am anxiety. We're like, oh yeah, I'm experiencing this temporary state, which all of our emotions are, just like our thoughts. You know, I think of both of those of just like clouds going by in the landscape of our minds or our bodies, our experience. And so I think what's so wonderful is it's, you know, you have this thing about the three truths that will set you free. And I want to talk about that, because to me, that's one of the things that helps set me free. When I really identify with, wow, this, whatever I'm experiencing right now, I want to be fully present to it. And knowing whether it's amazing or whether it's painful, it's temporary.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be here with it. I can breathe through it. And even if it's painful, I transcend it, like we've talked about, more quickly by just experiencing it. I don't have to fear it. It's not going to unearth me.
Yeah. Yep. So did you want me to go into those?
I was going to say, so what are the three truths that you write about, the three truths that will set you free?
Okay, so I haven't read it in a while, so you're tapping it. I'm going to have to. But the first one is that you, anybody, can have anything and everything they want from life. And it's a belief. You have to believe that you can. And once you believe you can, then we're going to see really incredible, miraculous things start to take place. Then it's a matter of choosing. So that's the first one. We can get into a little bit more detail on that. The second one is you are worthy of everything that you desire in life. And of course, that gets to how we identify. And that's where we allow ourselves to become victim to life. And we say, well, I'm not good enough for that. That's for somebody else. So this person has a greater opportunity than I do. So that's about playing small, like you were talking about. And then the last one is you're capable of achieving and experiencing everything, that you're capable of it. Now, that speaks to some of the things we want in life are going to be challenging. There are going to be difficulties involved in it. But my feeling is we wouldn't be given the inspiration to do something or to aspire to something if we weren't capable of doing it. That makes no sense to me. So another one of my quotes, these things keep coming up, and these are all in my book, anybody that's interested. And it is, you would not be inspired to do something if it wasn't intended to be. And so I take that to heart, literally to heart. If I'm inspired to do something, okay, it's intended for me. My soul is saying, this is what we're going to do. And then I start looking for the different threads that come from that, follow where it's going to go and make decisions based on it. And once you get to the point of trusting that inner guidance that you have, you're going to make decisions that allow for that experience to become fully manifest. And you're going to have the experience of it. And you keep growing from that. And of course, the more you follow your inspirations, the more inspirations you're going to get, the more you live in full expression, because it's about expanding. And I believe the universe expands, or the universe rewards expansion. So the more we allow ourselves to grow, to have these greater experiences, the more opportunities we'd be given to have even greater ones.
You know, what's coming to my mind as you say that is a thing that the universe, what is it? The universe abhors a vacuum.
Yes.
And so as we open ourselves up, we create a vacuum, and then the universe comes in and fills that.
Yeah. See, even when you're describing that, I mean, it's always kind of interesting to watch body language and all that, because you went like that. So you're making room for it, right? And you're opening your arms saying, give it to me. But your face also lit up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I also felt like a heart expansion as I was just making that movement. So, have so many more things to talk about. I want to come back to this. We're going to talk about the three truths that will set you free. And we're going to be talking more about the keys to living life in full expression. So join us back here with Jim Phillips after the break.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Spark. So glad to have you here with us. Just so thankful for you listeners. Thank you for your amazing emails and messages about The Spark. So happy to be connected with you in this moment. I'm here with Jim Phillips, author, life strategist, speaker, and America's authority of living in full expression. Thank you, Jim, for coming back. So excited to talk about this. And during break, we spoke about how important it is that listeners are realizing this is not just about you or I having this, you know, special connection to the divine or a special way that because we have this knowledge, our lives, you know, are up here or different and other people can't access that. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, and I think it's really important. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because in other conversations I've had in presentations, I always get that question and people say, it gets back to the three truths. Somebody will say something, well, that's not me. I can't have that. Jim is special. He somehow has a connection to the divine. And the fact of the matter is, it's not that I have a connection to the divine. We all are the divine in full expression. And it's just a matter of opening ourselves to that. So if someone were to go out on the morning walks that I go on your own, obviously, but if you go on your own morning walks and you just ask questions and you get quiet and you pay attention, you're going to get responses to it. And, you know, the interesting thing too, most of the time I get my responses immediately, But other times it'll be 2 hours later because something will happen and that'll be the answer. And I recognize it. I don't say, oh, that's just a coincidence that that pertains to the question I asked. No, it's the answer to the question that I asked. And then I rely on it. I make decisions based on it going from there. But I just think it's important everybody understands what we're talking about is not for a special group of people. It's for everybody. I mean, everybody on the planet. And we just need to avail ourselves of that I'm going to say it's the power of that power that we have to tap into that wisdom.
Yeah, it's not exclusive to anyone.
That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. You know, and I am not a religious person. And I also, you know, I really honor all the religions and for the pointers that they are to the truth. And, you know, I love that expression, you know, when Jesus was saying, you know, you will go on to do even greater things than I. And I think that's so important because it's saying, you know, we put people up on these pedestals or we put them as gurus. And the reality is we're all the same height. We all have this potential.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up that statement because to me, that's one of the ones that either has been so misinterpreted or it has been intentionally blocked or not promoted because it basically is saying that those things that I do, if I'm Jesus, those things that I do, you will do. And he also said, these things I do not do, they are done through me, which is what we're talking about.
Yes.
So we are one and the same. It's just, you know, it's how it's framed. And, you know, again, nothing against organized religion and all that, but a lot of it's done where the church takes the credit and wants to be the conduit, as opposed to each of us individually being the conduit that we are.
Exactly. And I think that's, there it is. That's the empowering moment right there, that we have a direct line. We have a direct connection and we can enhance that the more we practice some of these things. And they are as simple as being quiet,
right?
As bringing our, you know, bringing all these thoughts and all these things going on. It's not that I always tell people, you know, it's not that we have to be completely silent and have zero thoughts. You know, it's pretty hard to get to that state. And our minds, I hold up this picture in my workshops of this, literally, it's this frolicking puppy. It's this golden lab who's running full throttle with its ears flapping and its tongue out. I'm like, this is our mind. We are a frolicking puppy. So it's not, you know, to beat the puppy into submission. We teach the puppy how to sit and stay.
Yeah.
And that's what we do when we go on these walks. We suspend the chatter so that we can be open to whatever that divine message is.
Yeah. And the interesting thing too, though, for me is, as I mentioned, sometimes the answer to the question will come later in the day. I can be engaged in a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden something passes my path that disrupts the conversation, but it's the answer to my question. So it's not about not being focused on anything. You can be engaged in any other activity, but then that answer or that thought's going to come to mind. But then it's about capturing it too. You got to recognize mm-hmm. that when it comes through, don't discount it and say, oh, you know, just another random thought. If you can, write it down, you know, do something with it so you don't forget it, because they are fleeting thoughts too. It doesn't mean it won't come back at some point, but you're going to lose it right there in the moment if you don't really capture and take advantage of it.
Yeah. I teach my clients a lot how to capture those things as well. There's a great book by Laurel Parnell called Tapping In. And it's literally when something good like that happens, when we get a message, to be able to marinate on it for a moment to get it to stick. Yeah. We don't have a pen and paper, literally just by tapping your arms like this, you're literally doing, it's an EMDR technique, but what it's doing is helping to hardwire it into your mind, into your memory.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
Yeah. So I just want to invite people to try that as well, because I do think these, you know, these moments of insight, they are so important. And you're right. I mean, I have had the moments of insight, not just after a meditation or during a meditation. I could be talking to a client. I could be with a friend. I could be, you know, literally out running with my dog and all of a sudden there it is.
Yeah.
So the answers are really there. They're always available to us. And one of the things I'm hearing you say, Jim, is the intention also matters.
Yeah. I have another book that I wrote that came as an offshoot of the Key to Life Living and Full Expression. And it came because there's a lot of information in the Key to Life, and it probably is more information than needs to be there because it covers a lot of topics. But I was doing a book signing one day, and there happened to be an editor from New York that was there, and she bought a copy of my book, read it, and called me probably a couple of weeks later. And she said, "You have so much information in here, you could be writing several books based on the different topics." So I said, okay. So I took that as being a sign that I needed to do it. So I looked at, there's a bunch of information on inspiration and then intention as well. So I wrote another book that's an ebook. It's called From Inspiration to Intention. And the idea behind it is that we can be inspired to do something, but if we don't put the intention behind it to carry it through, then it's just going to be another inspiration that we allow to just kind of fizzle off and go wherever they go. It doesn't mean it won't come back, but we can't take full advantage of it until we put the attention behind it to make sure that it's going to be given all the attention that it deserves.
Yeah. Yes. Love that. Well, and I'm going to have you hold your book up, Jim, just for a moment so people can really see that. The Key to Life, Living in Full Expression. I love it. Ancient Wisdom for a Modern World. And Jim, where is that available?
It is available. You can get it on my website. It's available on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com. My publisher is Sacred Stories Media, so it's available on their website as well. But I think, you know, for people all around the world, probably the best place to do is get it on Amazon, just because shipping costs and all that are more reasonable. But if somebody wants an autographed copy, they can always go to my website, livinginfullexpression.com, and there's a sign up form for that, and I'll get them a signed copy.
Oh, I'm going there. I want to get a signed copy myself. I'm really so excited to read this. And so in the time that we have left, what are some of the keys that maybe we haven't covered that you feel like are really important that the people out there who are struggling or are challenged right now, that they hear?
You know, when somebody is struggling, one of the things that we need to recognize if we're working with somebody and helping them through a difficult time, we can't all of a sudden go from where they are to them being fully enlightened. And I think too often we try to take that step and get them just to forget all the stuff in between. They have to go through the stuff in between. It doesn't matter what I say or do or what you say or do, they have to have the experience. That's the purpose of being here. So I try to empower people by letting them know two things, that they are more powerful than they believe themselves to be. I mean, first and foremost, if people can internalize that I am this incredibly powerful, unlimited being, that all this stuff that I'm experiencing right now is only there to help me experience my true power, express it, and to expand on it. And once we start playing with that and start taking the steps that we know are necessary steps to move beyond whatever it is that's been put in front of us, and we start to realize that we can in fact do that. And that's where the expansion comes in. So that's the first part of that, is just recognizing that we are these incredibly powerful beings. We're way more powerful than we believe ourselves to be. And then the second part of that is we're way more powerful than we give ourselves permission to be. And this is where you were talking about playing small. We become too comfortable in our discomfort. We allow ourselves to just stay here. We get caught in victim mode. We look at what other people have and we say, well, because they have this, that means I can't have it. So that's a scarcity mentality. And there's abundance. It's for everybody. There is no scarcity of anything on the planet for anybody or any life experience. And it doesn't matter where you come from. Giving yourself permission is about letting go of any of the limiting beliefs we hold about ourselves, allowing ourselves to fully step into what I call my magnificent or our magnificent. And once you do that, and you see, when I do that, I go like this, because it's like all of a sudden this path you're on. And also, I want to make a mention of a path. I have people tell me all the time, I just started down my spiritual path. I just started down this path of this. There isn't any other path other than your life. Your life is your path. I mean, that's it. You may go to the left. Okay, that's just a different experience you're moving towards. It's still your path. Everything is your path. I don't care what anybody says. It's all the same path of this particular lifetime. When you come back, you're going to be on a different path for whatever experience you're supposed to have that lifetime. So I just want to get that out of the way. But once we realize that we are in control of our thoughts, our beliefs, the choices we make, and the actions we take, what we're not in control of are the consequences. So, and in fact, that's the formula, because if you, we're in charge of our thoughts and beliefs. So whatever you think and whatever you believe, it's up to you. You can hold on to it. You can let it go. We talked about truth earlier. Anything can be true to the person who holds it is true, because then they're going to be making decisions based on it as the truth. And they're going to have the consequences of that. But it doesn't make it true. Just because somebody holds it as true doesn't make it true. Or make it the truth, not make it true. It makes it true for them, but it doesn't make it the truth. And again, we just have to realize that we have the capability, actually the responsibility, to constantly be moving towards the truth. When something doesn't fit anymore, when the experience doesn't feel right, we need to recognize, okay, had that experience, I'm done with that, what's next? Another one of my quotes. I'm getting into this a little bit too far, but I'm getting stuff coming in.
Yeah, get it.
This to me, I'm going to say it's a brilliant quote because it is, and I'm not saying it because it's one of my quotes, but it's one of my guiding quotes. And it is, today what I know to be true, tomorrow might not be. And that allows me to let go of anything that I hold is true today and I've been acting on, because new information comes in, new experiences come in that challenge what we did before, challenge what we believed before, and then discernment has to come in. You have to discern, okay, well, which one really is the truth? Then that's when you're tapping into your spark to help you discern what's true, and you will know, and you get better and better at that discernment as you allow that to be your discerning mechanism, I guess, the best way to put it. But it's about giving yourself permission. Give yourself permission to live life in full expression of who you are.
So beautiful. You know, it makes me think of that whole thing of like how people truly believed that the world was flat. And I know there's still some flat earthers out there, but it's, you know, that people's behavior was affected by that.
Right.
And they would, you know, so they wouldn't travel, they wouldn't do things. And then once Christopher Columbus said, you know, no, you're not going to fall off the edge, the world's actually round. And now we have pictures of the world, you know, Earth, all these things, it changes then the truth or the beliefs. So right. I just think it's, and based on the more information that we get.
Right.
Right. And right. So that's what I love about what you're saying is that the more information we get, the better able we're to make decisions, to open up in our life. And so what we know, what we believe or believe to be true today, I love that it can morph and change, and that's okay. So we don't have to cling so rigidly to it being the ultimate truth.
Yeah. And here's the challenge we have today as a country, but I'm also going to say as humanity. And that is this whole idea of confirmation bias, that once we get on a certain track of what we believe, that we now tap into that as being our main flow of information. So all we're doing is confirming what we already hold is true, whether or not it's true. And we can see it all over the planet right now with all these crazy things that are going on. And that just becomes the person's source of information. The way to discernment is looking at all sides. You can have your belief and you can hold on to it as strongly as you want, but at least be open to listening to other opinions, other points of view, look at other experiences and really see what feels right. And I use that, the word feels right, intentionally, because it will come up as a feeling inside. You will know what's true and what's not true. And there'll all of a sudden be these aha moments you have and you go, wow, I can't believe I believe that. This really feels true. And then you start going towards whatever that new information might be, ideally in the direction of the truth. And then that's just the process of life. And that's why, to me, that definition I was given of the purpose of life is the progressive realization of the truth. It's one experience after the other.
So great. So great. Well, Jim, we're just about out of time. I've enjoyed this conversation so much, as I've enjoyed all of our conversations. And I want to make sure, if you were leaving the audience with an essential message you want to make sure that they're hearing, what would that be?
It's a question that I ask people when I do workshops and seminars. And I say, what one thing could you do today that would dramatically change your life from this point forward? And of course, a lot of people say win the lottery, and they get into all this, you know, crazy kind of materialistic type of stuff. And no question that would change your life. It doesn't mean it would change it for the better, but it would change your life. The answer to the question for me is trust. If people trusted themselves, which is what we're talking about, trusting that divine spark that we are, think about all the things you would try that you haven't tried, because you would trust yourself in making the right decisions moving forward. You would trust that the decision you're making is going to result in whatever it is you're moving towards. You would just try so many different things, and you wouldn't go external. You wouldn't go to the world for feedback. That doesn't mean we shouldn't have feedback, because I mean, obviously that helps us, but you wouldn't rely on that. You take it as feedback, but then you make your own decision, I guess is a better way to put it. And once we start living like that, and we're not dependent upon other people and what they say and what they think, but to me, that's living in full expression of our truth. I mean, that's really getting to the core of it. But trusting yourself, really, really trusting yourself and building on that trust, you're never going to go wrong. And I will guarantee people this, that when you start trusting that divine spark, which is what you are, you'll never be led astray. Now, you're going to have experiences. We keep going over this. You're going to have experiences that feel like you've gone astray, but you haven't. That's an experience for you to be able to test your power and to test that divine spark that you are.
So we could say it to encapsulate all that. It's all good, you know, like all of our life. It's all good. It's all in the end, ultimately serving us on our path.
Right. Absolutely.
And one more time, Jim, how do people get a hold of you? Where can they find your book?
My website, it's livinginfullexpression.com. You can email me if you want at jim@livinginfullexpression.com. And of course, on my website, there's lots of different ways to connect, phone numbers and whatnot. My book can be purchased on the website, and you go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the other major online book outlets, and you can find the book. And then you can go to Facebook as well. And if you go to Facebook and just type in the search bar, Living in Full Expression, it'll bring up my business page on Facebook. I have a lot of my quotes on there as posters. I have videos and stuff that I've done that are on there. So just a lot of information that people have access to. In addition to my website, I have a ton of eBooks on there that are free for downloading.
Wonderful. So many amazing resources. I just want to encourage everyone to check these out. And just again, Jim, thank you so much for this time. Just really an honor spending time with you.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Had a great time. Thank you.
And thank all of you listeners. Join us next week for The Spark, igniting your best life.
Thanks for tuning in to The Spark with Stephanie James. Remember that you already have what you need to live a life that is fully lit and fully alive. You're already holding the flame. Now it's time to ignite your best life. Learn more at stephaniejames.world. That's stephaniejames.world. And tune in next week at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on transformationtalkradio.com. Shine on!
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.